You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Okay, the scripture reading today is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had all our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, of fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of the wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even as we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And Father God, we pray now and ask your blessing to the reading of this your holy word. For in Christ's name we pray, and in him we ask it. Amen.
Father, we do thank you for our fellowship now, our fellowship around the Word. We thank you for the blessing of Northside Bible Church. And we're mindful, Father, of all those that have come before us. The long continuity of men and women who have been faithful to the charge that you have given to our assembly. And we pray, Father, each day, each week, each month, every year, that we're faithful to that. And we thank you as you have constantly provided for our needs to be successful in that calling. And Father, we pray now that as we join our hearts and our minds together to search your word, that we might be raised up with joy as we find how important the word is and its application to us, and what hope we find therein, and the inheritance that you've given us in the heavenlies above. We thank you as you attend to that, and we pray these blessings and for this grace in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to kind of take a little interlude here, just a little one. You know what this weekend is? It's Memorial Day weekend. It's the beginning of summer, and it's good to see that not all of our congregation goes to the lake or goes out of town. Can you imagine? I'll bet those lake folks are really feeling kind of hot today. Sunshine yesterday, baby. We got up to like in the mid-90s somewhere. Down in the southwest, it was in the hundreds, triple digits already. But this is Memorial Day, and you know Memorial Day is a commemoration of those who have fallen in service for their country, who have paid that ultimate sacrifice, who have given all that they really had to give, their own life, to protect us, to defend us, to give us the freedom and the liberty that we have to enjoy life. It's a time of remembrance. It began back in the Civil War time, late 1860s. I'm sure you have heard this before, probably from this pulpit, and probably have read and heard about it. But Confederate mothers went to the cemeteries and decorated their sons' graves that fell during the Civil War. It wasn't until about the late 1960s, that Memorial Day became a federal holiday, and it was celebrated on the last Monday of the month in order to give a three-day weekend. Still, some don't like that. They think it takes away from the original date upon which it fell, which was May 30th, which we're happy to hear is this year's date, May 30th, tomorrow. It's a day of remembrance. It's a time of remembering important things in life. And that's what our scripture has to do with today. If you stop a minute and think about it, God is always calling us, and please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. God is calling us to remember. Our lesson from the beginning has gone on some 30-odd lessons, and it began with the idea of remember. In Psalms 104, and I'm not asking you to turn there, go keep turning to Ephesians chapter 2. But back in Psalms 104, God was calling the nation Israel to remember all the things that God had done for them. He asked them to remember. It was he who established the foundations upon which the earth was set. It was he who flung the stars into the heavenly skies. It was he who created all things. He was trying to make them remember that he is God and he is God Almighty. And he is the only God. There's no other gods, at least he says, I know of none, who can do the things that I've done. And as we start with Ephesians chapter 2, there's a reminder here of where we've been. So that we don't lose sight of how needful we are. Notice it says in verse 1, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Two things. You walked according to the course of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, and the devil, the pride of life. These things are the things that weigh us down. These things are the things that separate us from God. And it doesn't get any better. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation, or our behavior, or our manner of life in times past. The lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were, and I'm going to put these words in there, all of us, and we were, all of us, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. It's not a very glowing report, is it? It's a bad report. But it's what the devil has done. And it's the nature that our original parents have given us. And we sometimes tend to forget that we were as even others are. We were even as others are. But the devil's a crafty person. He had a conclave one time, I've been told. And he gathered all of his little demons together with him. And the question was, well, how can we mislead and deceive mankind? It was quiet. Finally, one of those demons raised his hand and devil said, what? He said, well, just tell them there's no God. We'll just teach them there's no God. We'll take God out of their schools. We'll take God out of their churches. We'll take God out of their public places. We'll just remove God from their life. There was quiet. No, that won't work, the devil said. He said, even we believe in God. And even those who don't know or have never received God as Jesus as their personal Savior on earth, they still believe in God. They believe in some higher power. They believe in something that there's out there, even though they don't worship Him. So, no, I don't think that'll work. Well, then another guy raised his hand and said, why don't we just tell them that the Bible is just a myth? It's a fairy tale. It's just like any other religion. And it doesn't have any more credence than any other religion. It's, you can believe this or you can believe that. It's all relative. And I said, no, we can't do that. We've tried that and it doesn't work. You know, every time we raise up against the Bible, it's just for some reason the enemy gets stronger and stronger. We can't disprove it. And they step up and they prove it even when we brought evolution along. They came back and brought in intelligent design. And then all of a sudden they started finding out all these wonderful things in the world about them and in the space that surrounded them that proved. I mean, we don't want to go back to that route. That just doesn't work for us. And then one devil stood up and he said, I know what we'll do. Why don't we just tell them that there is a God and that there is a Bible? Even tell them that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's don't argue against them. Let's just agree with them, but tell them, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to make a decision about any of that right now. And the devil said, yeah, I like that plan. Procrastination. Let's just put it off. Tell them, you can put it off. And how many people today believe, or at least say they believe, in God, believe in the Bible, believe that Jesus died for their sins, but have never, never made a profession. Maybe they've made a profession, but they've never taken possession. How important is that? So important. The devil's fooled all of us until that moment in time, that moment in life, in your life, in my life, in all believers' lives, that all of a sudden we realize we're sinners. Like the song said, saved by grace. But we're sinners. We're sinners. And the road that we're on is the road that leads to death and destruction. The road that the devil has laid out for us is nothing but a road of heartache and failure and eternal separation from the God who loves us. See, that's what verse 4 begins with. After we find out that, yeah, we were terrible. We were sinners. Our whole conversation of life, our behavior, and our manner was lost in sin, even as others today are. But look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love with which He loved us. I think God wants us to remember that. I think God doesn't want us to forget that. Now, we can't save ourselves. No one can save themselves. But there is one who does save. And you know, those of us who do know what that salvation is, who have a full knowledge of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, we shouldn't be... What we should be is we should be shouting about our salvation. We need to be thankful for our salvation. We need to realize, and it's probably easier for us who are grayer of hair than those who have still the color of their hair intact. We ought to be even more shouting because we have a firmer grasp of all that God has done. We've seen His handiwork day in and day out. We've seen things that we thought were impossible made possible by our own effort? No. But by the work of God in our lives, in the lives of one another, in the lives of our family and our children, in the lives of those that we know round about us. We've seen His mercy. A God who is rich in mercy. I don't really think that a younger person, and I'm not saying that they don't have the same fullness of salvation that an older person has, but I don't think they have the experience of life and God's mercy and grace. And God does go right into grace. Look in verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. By grace you're saved. Not anything we can do for. Not anything we can work for. Anything we can earn. I'm mindful of a story. Y'all know who Teddy Roosevelt is? Okay, I'm mindful of a story back in the... You remember the latter part of the 1800s, 1890s, we had a conflict with Spain, the Spanish-American War. That rings a bell with you. And you know Teddy Roosevelt, he was the guy charged up, what's the name of that hill? San Juan, somebody said, thank you, San Juan Hill. And there's Teddy over there, and you know it's in Cuba. We're having this fight over Cuba with Spain. I mean, McKinley was president, didn't want to have anything to do with it. But then they sunk the Maine in the harbor of Havana, and they sent good old Teddy and the Rough Riders over to Cuba to take care of this uprising that's going on. And Teddy got over there, and his folks, after a few weeks and months of being there, were starting to run short of rations. He ran into a lady named Clara Bloom? Booth? Bloom. I think it's Bloom. I'm missing the name, but I think it's Clara. Who were you saying? Yes. Barton, that's it. Thank you. Clara Barton's over there, and you probably, these folks know her. You probably know her, too. She's the one who started the American Red Cross in the United States. And she's over there, and Teddy went over to her, and he said, you know, we need some food for our men. I'd like to buy it. She says, not for sale. He went, well, I understand that, but, you know, we're Americans, right? And you're American, and we're here. We need some food, and we've got money. We'll be glad to pay for it. She said, it's not for sale. Teddy walked away, as the story goes. Walked away, and he was disgruntled and upset and stomped his foot a few times. One of his lieutenants came over and said, sir, what do you want? He responded, said, sir, the reason it's not for sale is that she's giving it away. inheritance. He's giving it away. God's grace is not for sale. God's grace is being given away, and it's being offered to everyone, to whosoever. And that's what it says here in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath God quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He goes on and he emphasizes how important this is in verse 6. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The four words I have underlined in verse 7, the ages to come. Whoa. I mean, that's so unbelievable. So amazing that the mind just can't grasp what ages, not just the next age, and not just this age, but in the ages, the plurality of it, the ages to come. He's going to show towards us the exceeding riches of His grace through Christ Jesus. You know, I made mention of this. I think it might have been last week. It's amazing. I may have made mention, not up here, but maybe just in conversation. But, you know, we're constantly drawing a conclusion and a distinction between the promises. God gave certain promises. There are promises God gave to Abraham. There are promises that God gave to Abraham that are far-reaching promises. The land, the seed, and a city whose maker and builder is God. But those are not the promises God has given to us. We studied last week that was the promises that Paul, when he began to preach in Acts 13, of the kingdom of God, those were the promises that the Jews had promised, but they were also offered to the Gentiles. But those were the promises of Abraham. They're not the promises that we're offered today. Our promises are where? The exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Abraham. No. Look at verse 7. What's the last two words? Through who? Christ Jesus. He wants us to remember that. He's drawn that to our attention. He doesn't want us to forget. And he goes back to this idea. Remember, verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I love the way when Champ was reading, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but when he's reading the scripture, he says, not of works. That distinction needs to be made. Sometimes we begin to doubt, we begin to think, I'm not done enough to please God. You'll never do enough to please God. If you're seeking to be saved or find your salvation in the works that you're trying to do. Now what God is wanting you to do is after you're saved is to be busy about the work. That's what He says in verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which He before ordained we should walk in. But if our whole car is on how good we can be, there's not one of us as good as we can be that can ever save ourselves. Not one of us. God's very clear about that. You take that Roman road and you find out that there's not one. No, not one that is righteous. No, not one who has sought me. Not one who is good. No, none. I don't care who they are. Only one has God found acceptable. And we are accepted in Him by God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes faith. It takes faith. What is faith? Well, faith isn't a bunch of mumbo jumbo. By that, it's not Easter bunnies. It's not Santa Claus. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's substance. It's substance. It's the power of God in your life not just enabling you to accomplish that which He wants you to accomplish, but it is the power of God in your life demonstrating that He is God. And it's not just substance, it's evidence. It's we have the evidence, we have the testimony, we have the witness of who He is and what He has done. And you know, we see people who go out and do that, do what? Who evidence that witness, who manifests that witness, who tell others about how good God is. And they're not trying to start a fight. They're not trying to stir up any kind of controversy. They're just witnessing what they've done. It doesn't mean they don't encounter opposition. It doesn't mean they don't encounter strife. But that's not what they do. They tell others how good God has been. And God is so good. That's that wonderful song. God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He answers prayer. All that. That goes with that song. Saved by grace. What is faith? Let me tell you, there's an illustration that I read, and I really like this illustration, okay? The house was on fire, and there was a little boy, young lad that was in the house, and he was on the second floor, and he couldn't get down. He was trapped. So all he could do is get out of the window, get out on the roof. And he was out there, and he was crying. And his dad was down below. And his dad said, "Son, I'm here." And he said, "I can't see you." Because all the kid could see was the fire and the flames and the smoke. And his dad said, I can see you. And he says, "Dad, I can't see you." And he says, "That's okay, jump. I see you." And that's all that matters. That's all that matters is that we are seen. Sometimes, Carter, you'll go through situations in life and you'll think, "Where is God? I don't know what they'll be." It may be, you know, you lose a mom, you lose a dad. You may suffer some calamity like these folks in this tornado that we had this last week where whole houses are just devastated. Family lost two children. One, the third child's critical. And the mother is pregnant and she's in the hospital. And it's just so sad. And there are more stories than just that one family. You're going to go through some situations in life. It may be some health issue. You may have some problems with your health and you may wonder, how does that happen? I had a friend of mine that I knew back in high school that we never kept up, but I knew him back then. And just a few months ago, diagnosed with lung cancer. Died in a month. Never smoked a cigarette in his life. And just gone. You may, if you have a Daily Oklahoman, if you've seen the Daily Oklahoman this week, there was a story about his daughter who is an intern going to law school and a cheerleader for the Thunder. It may not be your health. It may be your finances. It may be, you never know. But you're going to have those moments in life where you go, I don't know where God is in this. I can't see Him. But He sees you. He sees each and every one of us, day in and day out, and no matter what we're going through, He is there. One thing I'll tell you, as much as the world changes, God's promise that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. God is immutable. He's unchangeable. And it's only a love of a Father like this that woos us, that loves us to Him. He wants us to remember that because look at verse 11. He says, "Wherefore remember." See, there's that word. I was getting to that word. We are to remember. We never should forget. We shouldn't take for granted those who gave their lives. And it doesn't matter if it's the Afghanistan war, or if it was Gulf War II, or Gulf War I, or Vietnam, or Korea, or whatever skirmish, World War II, if we have very, I don't know if we have any more survivors of that war or not, but we've had people who have been through it. We should never forget the penalty, the price that they paid so that we can enjoy freedom, that we can enjoy liberty. God says here in verse 11, remember what condition you were in And don't forget what I have done for you. Verse 11, remember that you in times past were Gentiles in the flesh. You were dogs. That's what a Gentile is in the eyes of a Jew. They were a dog. Deserved nothing. And he goes on to explain why. He says, because you were in the flesh. You were uncircumcised. And you were called uncircumcised by those who were circumcised. You know who those who were circumcised? What do we call them a lot of times? What's God call them? He says, they're the apple of my eye. I mean, that's just like, you know, having the homeschool king or queen kind of look at you and go, you know, you're just trash. Get out of here. It makes you just feel like circumcision. Called the uncircumcision. Uncircumcision. In the verse 12, at that time you were without Christ. We didn't have a Messiah. It had never been promised to us. It was promised to the nation Israel. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were not partakers of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We were not able to claim one of the 12 fathers, the fathers of the nation, as one of our fathers. I mean, Paul did it. Paul claimed it really boldly and proudly. He said, not only was I a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I was the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin, the only one that was faithful, who never left Judah, the southern kingdom. Aliens, we couldn't even say we were a Simeon. We couldn't even pick one of those 10 northern tribes and be a part of it. We had nothing. We were aliens from this commonwealth. We were strangers from the covenants. We had no hope. And we were without God in the world. In the world. He's very clear about that, and I think there's a purpose in that. Because those who were Gentiles who did good, Paul says over in Romans, he makes that argument. He says those who were Gentiles, they had a law, and they lived according to that law. God judged them according to that law. And look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Not only that, he goes on, verse 14, he says, and this is stuff, something we need to remember. He, Christ, is our peace, who hath made the both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This middle wall separated them. It caused Peter to, I can't think of the word, I want to say discombobulate, but that's not the word, but he disassociated himself from Gentiles. And Paul had to call him down and dress him down on that. And we read about that in Galatians. But now in Christ, this middle wall of partition that separated Jew and Gentile has been torn down. He abolished it in his flesh, verse 15, this enmity, the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances. And he has made or created in himself of the two, one new man, so making peace. This is a major premise. By the way, you need to remember this. This is a major premise of the mystery. The one new man, of which Christ is the head. Israel didn't have that. Why? Verse 16, so that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. We have one body. One body. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We need to remember that. We need not to forget that. We need to remember where we came from, what God has done, and where we're going. And we need to live life with that expectation and that hope. I was doing a little study, and y'all know that your inheritance is determined by your hope. If your inheritance is, say, the kingdom of God here on earth, that's based on your hope. Your hope that God will establish His kingdom on earth, which is based on a calling. And that calling is in Abraham. So if you start in the reverse order, you have your calling determines your hope. So if you're called in Abraham, you have a hope. And if your hope is what has been promised to Abraham, then your inheritance is the kingdom of God here on this earth. C-H-I. It's your chi. No, you laugh, but now I want to tell you something. It's interesting. I went, now I'm familiar with that word chi. That's a Chinese word, isn't it? It's a Chinese word. It means the essence of their self. It's what makes them up. And that's exactly what my point is. Your C-H-I has got to be made up of your calling, and our calling is in Christ. Our hope is to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Where? In the heavenlies above. That's our inheritance. Live life like that. Enjoy your chi. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the word that has such an impact on us. We pray, Father, there not be one here or one who hears this message that is a hearer only, but a doer also. We pray, Father, that our great thanks for your wonderful Son, our great thanks in the life that you've given us to enjoy now and the life of Christ in us, what great joy it brings, what great hope it fosters. We thank you for that. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.